Let's turn in God's Word to John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 1 through 47, the whole chapter, as we always do. In John chapter 5, verse 1, these are the infallible words of God, so let's give our attention to them. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the Sabbath day, now on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quicketh them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye may be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And those are God's words. This chapter begins by Jesus healing the impotent man who had been under this bodily infirmity for 38 years, commanding him to rise up and take up his bed and walk. You see, in verse 9, immediately the man was made whole and walked. And this being on the Sabbath day, the Sabbath is a day beloved to show, as we heard in the call to worship, physical mercy. And so Jesus showed him physical mercy by healing him. The interesting thing, though, is that in the eyes of the Jews, according to their man-made laws, verse 18, they believed that Jesus had broken the Sabbath. But he had not, because it is very clear throughout Scripture that to show physical mercy on the Sabbath day is part of keeping the Sabbath, keeping the fourth commandment. But it's also not only a day of physical mercy, it's a day of spiritual mercy. Verse 14, we see, it says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." He calls him to sin no more. What happens if he would sin more? Something worse would come upon him. His faith not being in Jesus, if he would sin more, judgment would come. Just as judgment had come to his body to make him impotent for 38 years. It seems by what Jesus is saying. But to show spiritual mercy, to proclaim the gospel, sin no more. And how do we sin no more but to look to Jesus for our life by faith? The Jews then seeking to kill Jesus, since he not only in their eyes broke the Sabbath, but made himself out to be equal with the Father, which they, as you get towards the cross more and more, they call blasphemy. And that's what the reason the Jews sought to crucify him, or that he would be crucified. And yet Jesus is equal with the Father. Jesus preaches a sermon then asserting his authority as the Messiah and mediator between God and man. Verse 24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," that's the Father, "hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We're also taught here of the resurrection, that all will rise from the dead. Everyone will rise from the dead. Those who believe on Jesus Christ for their salvation, they will rise unto eternal life. And those who do not believe on Jesus Christ for their life, those who don't, they'll be raised up unto eternal damnation. And from this then, Jesus testifies of His Father. He testifies of John the Baptist. He testifies of His miracles. And He testifies of the fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures, proving that He is the Messiah, and condemns the Jews for their unbelief. They even saying that they are of their father Moses, and yet they don't even believe Moses' word that we heard in John 3 of the bronze serpent that was lifted up as pointing us to Jesus Christ. They would not believe. And so He condemns the Jews for their unbelief. Not only of not believing Moses, but not believing Jesus Himself. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. We pray, just as we heard this morning, that we would trust You at Your word. That You would humble us before Your throne. Humble us before Your word as it is read and preached, even when we are home and we read it ourselves and hear it with our ears. Even sing it as we sing the Psalms. Humble us before You, that we would not think that we are better than the Jews, that we would not think we are better than Israel or Judah, both who were at one point exiled and taken into captivity because of their wickedness and covenant unfaithfulness, or covenant breaking. But we are not better than they. We are only who we are because of Your Son Jesus Christ and by Your grace. We only know what we know because of Your grace. We only believe what we believe because of Your grace in Christ and by Your Spirit. And those sins that have been put off and put to death, while many remain, those sins that have been put off and put to death have only been put off and put to death because of Your Son Jesus Christ and by Your grace, the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, humble us before Your throne as we plead unto You and lift up our cries, pleading that You again would help that family and that baby who was born with the birth or the heart defect, the chromosomal defect. Be with them and comfort them. Give them wisdom. Wisdom that comes from Your word. Father, we do ask that You would care for us, Your congregation of Your people. You would keep reforming us, keep manifesting that reformation in our lives as through faith and repentance. You would teach us Your ways, that we would see our sin and hate our sin just as You hate our sin, and love Christ Your Son, and love righteousness just as You love Christ Your Son, and love righteousness. Make us to be a faithful people following after you, for you are the God who is faithful. Make us to be a holy people, because Christ is holy, and through him alone, make us holy. Father, we pray that you would make us to be a people who on the Sabbath day look for opportunities where we're able to show physical mercy, but also spiritual mercy, where we are able to heal bodies, to provide for people and their need, but also to proclaim the gospel, call Christians who are stuck or fallen back to you in Christ, knowing that you're the God who lifts us up and keeps us from falling. Help us to proclaim the gospel to unbelievers, even on this day, that your name would be exalted and many would glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you for those who continue to minister the gospel on Saturdays. We pray that you would be with them and strengthen them, give them the words, and thankful for those who have been testified the gospel faithfully, though I'm sure that those who go from here often feel weak. We're thankful that you have in each case strengthened them just as you needed to strengthen them, that the gospel would be proclaimed and people would be invited to worship you here on the Lord's Day. We pray that you would bring more people and bring about fruit from that and that service that they have committed unto you. I pray that even more of the people here would see it as an important ministry and service to the church. More would participate, even women and even children. They would come with their parents or fathers, and they would see how to minister the gospel even to people who at sometimes seem dangerous or make us uncomfortable, and pray that the gospel would be faithfully proclaimed and you would save your people. Our Father, thankful for the elders and deacons of this congregation, pray that you would uphold us, for we are frail and unable to do what you call us to do of ourselves, for apart from you we can do nothing. And so strengthen us in our hearts, in our lives. Lead us not into temptation, just as we pray for the whole congregation. But keep us from the temptations of the evil one, who will surely desire of us to bring us down and destroy the ministry that happens here, and the preaching of the word, and the service to one another, and the helps that we can have towards one another. And Father, we pray that you would bring about the fixing of the various things that are broken here in this place. We're thankful that we are not completely dependent upon them, and yet it would be a blessing to us to have them fixed. Pray that you would be with those who the owner and those who the deacons have sought out to fix things, to do so. Bring that about quickly, if it be your will. And of course, we trust your providence. We know that everybody's timing is not our timing. And so give us patience and praise you for the churches. Hope that we are one of those churches who are faithful to proclaim the gospel. And I pray that you would uphold them. And then those who have turned from you, just like Israel and Judah and the scriptures turned from you, the Jews turned from you. We pray that you would call those churches back who have gone the way of the Nicolaitans or gone in the way of sin and wickedness and turned from worshiping you according to your word. Call them to repentance. And if we need to repent, call us to repentance. And show that very clearly. Father, we praise you for our families. Pray that you would strengthen our families. Strengthen our love for one another in the body of Christ. Strengthen our marriages. And strengthen our relationships with our children. That your name in every instance or opportunity we would be able to proclaim the gospel, even to those children who have rebelled against you and believed and played the fool that said there is no God. And every time we tell the gospel to them and remind them of it, they hate us, it seems, a little more. But Father, make us faithful. And if they hate us, then it is only for their hating you and Christ your Son. So make us faithful and help us to continue to love and show that charity to our common man. And not only those in the church. Father, we pray for those who need churches, who need ministers. We pray for the churches in Laramie and Manhattan and the church in Denver, that you would provide ministers for them quickly. That they would have a constant preaching and pastoral ministry for their good and for their growth. We praise you for this coming Friday, and that the installation of Stephen Mulder will happen, Lord willing, in Oklahoma City, and the church plant there. We pray that would go well, and that you would bring about fruit from his ministry, and that you would uphold him through all the trials that will come. For every pastor goes through so many trials. Uphold your ministers, Father. And that they would not look to themselves or to another except Christ your Son, in which we all must look to. Our Father, now as we continue worshiping you, help us that your name would be blessed and glorified, that you would uplift our hearts, that our souls would cry out with our singing and with joy and love for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.